Meet Me Under the Mistletoe by Seriously Sapphic. There's a branch of mistletoe near the entrance to the dormitories in the Slytherin common room that Narcissa has avoided at all costs. Elahi Shafiq put it up 2 weeks ago because she thought it was the most romantic thing she'd ever heard, her favorite holiday tradition to date that Narcissa sincerely hopes she won't make an actual tradition. The branches are charmed to keep two people in place until a kiss has occurred, and as amusing as it has been to watch other people get stuck beneath them and be forced to confront that uncomfortable situation, Narcissa has no intention of becoming a victim herself. Just yesterday, Rodolphus Lestrange got caught beneath it with Kingsley Shacklebolt, which she knows Rodolphus didn't mind half as much as he insisted he did. His twin, Rabastin, has managed to get trapped between the branches with four different girls in a week and a half. Emma Vanity twice, even, and Elahi herself was among them too. Even Augustus Rookwood, though Bastin had looked a little less pleased about that one. As much as Rabastin, a dear friend of hers, insists that he simply has the poorest luck in the universe, Narcissa suspects he's a little less careful about the mistletoe than she has been. She sees Elahi laugh heartily when she's trapped beneath the mistletoe with Eviana Bulstrode, a seventh-year student, and lean in for a chaste kiss like it's nothing at all. Narcissa chuckles to herself, wondering how on earth Elahi manages it, and returns to her book. It's so simple to watch out who you're walking with, and to not go through the passage to the dormitories with two people at once. Narcissa has half a mind that no one who's been caught so far had any qualms about it. She doesn't think that many accidents can happen, even if most of her peers are undeniably thick-headed. Two days later, she's storming back to the common room with Dorcas Meadows following right behind her. They've been stuck working together on a project for their shared arithmancy class, and Dorcas's mistakes, which she insists are Narcissa's own, have made them miss out on the start of today's Quidditch match. Slytherin is playing, which means both Rodolphus and Rabastin want to see her on the stands, and Dorcas has ruined it all. Dorcas, a girl in Narcissa's year who she shares a dorm and prefect duties with, is one of the most frustrating people around. They compete for the top marks in their classes, and Dorcas never misses an opportunity to show off just how clever and beautiful she is, which never fails to get on Narcissa's nerves. No one else seems to notice how obviously hard Dorcas tries to grab everyone's attention, making it only more frustrating on Narcissa's part. "Was it that difficult to figure out those formulas?" Narcissa bites at Dorcas, snapping the password at the common room's bare entrance and glaring dangerously at her classmate when Dorcas dares to try and go through first. "You wasted my whole afternoon. Are you happy now?" "You have got to be kidding me, Black." Dorcas rolls her eyes and hurries after Narcissa, the scent of her perfume making Narcissa's heart race. Just like her to use an obnoxious amount of the stuff. The common room is empty. Everyone's long disappeared to the Quidditch stands, where Narcissa should have been as well. "You ask Professor Sinistra the same question a dozen times, but it's my fault you still managed to mess up. You're unbelievable!" Narcissa isn't listening anymore. She looks at Dorcas, magic brewing behind her dark brown eyes, and while she's distracted for a brief moment, she's quick to turn around and rush back toward the dormitories. It's true that she asks a lot of questions, but she's under the firm impression that she wouldn't have to do that if Dorcas just read the instructions in the first place. "Get out of my sight! You're a bloody distraction!" Narcissa snaps at her, ignoring Dorcas's laugh at that statement. She heads towards the passage to their dorms, Dorcas right behind her, because she's never listened to Narcissa before, and clearly has no intentions of starting now. "I'm getting my cloak and a scarf, and then you should hope I make it to the pitch before the game ends. If I miss..." Narcissa stands still, frozen in place by a magical force that feels entirely unfamiliar to her. Dorcas walks right into her, having not expected her to stop so suddenly, and it sends such a shock through Narcissa's system that she almost gasps. She knows what she'll see hanging above their heads before she actually brings herself to look up. Narcissa keeps standing with her back turned toward Dorcas, unwilling to face the reality of the situation she's ended up in.
Elahi!
She curses under her breath, drawing her wand at once.
Just perfect, Dorcas mutters behind her. Get rid of it! What are you waiting for?
Narcissa turns around and looks up at the branches of the mistletoe that look deceptively pretty and innocent for the stress they're causing her.
I wouldn't have to wait if you'd get out of my way, she tells Dorcas, who scoffs.
And how would I do that, genius? Dorcas asks her, like Narcissa is the most simple-minded person alive. Narcissa rolls her eyes.
Finite incantatum,
she says in a clear, cold voice, waving her wand with a precise and practiced movement. She'd never admit to showing off. She has no need for such silly ways of proving herself better than those around her. But who would she be if she didn't take a few opportunities to remind everyone? Even if everyone at the moment included only Dorcas Meadows herself. And even if her charm failed miserably. Narcissa cast it again, just as calmly as before, and then spoke another more powerful magical evaporation charm that had a similar disappointing effect. She's agitated and disappointed in herself at the apparent inability to dismiss what has to be quite a simple charm. Elahi isn't a mastermind when it comes to magic, though Narcissa wouldn't put it past the likes of Pandora Lovegood to have helped her with this. She sighs, looking at Dorcas with cold blue eyes to hopefully convey how much she's not looking forward to this next part.
Well, I suppose it's your lucky day, in any case, Narcissa tells Dorcas, her tone haughty, even when her eyes are fixated on the crease of Dorcas's lips.
She looks back up into her eyes, catching Dorcas's incredulous stare.
Get off it! Everyone can see how you look at me!
She doesn't understand why Dorcas now stares at her with a level of arrogant disbelief that could rival her own. It's obvious that Dorcas fancies her. It's one of her only redeeming qualities, in Narcissa's humble opinion. It's clear to anyone who watches them, she thinks, because Dorcas isn't particularly subtle about it.
I hope, for your sake, you're talking about yourself there, Dorcas says instead,
her eyes narrowing at Narcissa like she's speaking to a woman gone mad.
You can't possibly be that full of yourself.
She takes a step closer toward Narcissa, who feels her cheeks flush. She blames it on the magic surrounding them.
You are joking, Meadows, Narcissa accuses her, with reddened cheeks.
Dorcas's own face is slightly darker than normal, though far less noticeable than the red flush spreading across Narcissa's. She hates herself for it.
You can't get your eyes off of me. I see you staring.
It's as if Dorcas never looks away from her. No matter what Narcissa is doing, no matter who she's with, whether they're alone or among their friends, she always has her beautiful brown eyes focused on Narcissa. It makes her feel rushed and nervous, but it's so obviously a crush that she doesn't mind. Dorcas hasn't seemed to realize it just yet. Narcissa can't quite believe how unaware of her own feelings Dorcas is.
You're always watching me. Of course you'd think I look at you all the time. You're desperately waiting for any time I happen to glance your way, Dorcas accuses her,
and Narcissa's gasp turns into a haughty laugh.
As if.
They roll their eyes at each other at the same time, and then look up at the mistletoe that still hangs above their heads. Narcissa tries to step back, which is futile, and scoffs when Dorcas tries the same. Narcissa looks down at Dorcas's lips for only a short while, but it's enough to make her deadly nervous. She looks away, wishing she could step further back, but no matter what she tries, she's still only a small step away from Dorcas. Dorcas, who's staring at her in the way she always is, blatantly wanting her without realizing it, who's so beautiful it's nothing short of obnoxious, who's looking at her like Narcissa is the one embarrassing herself right now.
So you're going to kiss me, Black?
Dorcas asks her. She's trying to hide it, that much is clear, but she looks dreadfully nervous. Narcissa can't blame her for that, even if she finds it fun to look at. She'd be terribly anxious, too, if she was about to be kissed by a girl she had a crush on.
It's the only way to get out of here, Narcissa says, softly.
narrowing her eyes at Dorcas so she knows she's not happy with this, even if her heart is skipping several beats with every glance she steals at Dorcas's parted lips.
I don't see the point in stalling the inevitable.
Now she has a problem with stalling time? Dorcas whispers, a look of utter disbelief on her face, when she places her hand on Narcissa's waist and leans in close. Without uttering another word, she closes the small gap between them and muffles the quiet gasp that leaves Narcissa's mouth when their lips meet. It's brief, so short that it might as well not have happened. But the magic stops swirling around them, and Narcissa knows that they can leave, but she stays right where she is. Dorcas pauses, her lips still hovering over Narcissa's, and when Narcissa prolongs their too brief kiss, she laughs but answers her eagerly. Dorcas's lips are parted against hers, her tongue gingerly slipping into Narcissa's mouth as she whimpers quietly into Dorcas's touch. Narcissa tastes the remnant of Professor Sinistra's homegrown tea on Dorcas's tongue, and she sighs at the frustrating reminder that Dorcas stole the last cup of it while they were still working on their project. That small frustration floats from her mind as easily as Dorcas's hands find their way to Narcissa's shoulder and the loose fabric of her robes. Narcissa can forgive her selfishness this once, she reckons. They don't hear the quick footsteps coming down into the passageway, but the shocked gasp that they both recognize immediately is impossible to ignore. Dorcas and Narcissa jump apart like they've been burnt by each other's touch, wide eyes staring at one another, before they simultaneously turn towards Elahe Shafiq. She's standing in the doorway, the widest possible grin on her face, as she's excitedly playing with the fray of her Slytherin headscarf.
"Don't let me stop you," she hurries to say. "I'm only grabbing the winter robes my mum sent me. Don't know why I hadn't thought of them before. Rodolphus looks brilliant in his Quidditch robes. Mesmerizing, I tell you. But it's absolutely freezing out there, and the Seekers haven't even spotted the snitch at any point yet."
Elahe walks towards them, keeping her distance when she shuffles around the mistletoe and towards the door of their shared dormitory. She pauses before she enters the dorm. Narcissa has a bright red blush on her cheek, and Dorcas is looking anywhere but at the two of them. Elahe appears a little guilty about the embarrassment she caused, but she's still smiling.
"I won't tell anyone, and it'll take me a few minutes to get changed. I get distracted easily." "All right, Elahe," Narcissa brings out, her voice soft and unsure.
She can't stop looking at Dorcas, her heart beating so loudly it might just jump out of her chest any second. When Elahe closes the door behind her, Dorcas takes a step back, and though they're not charmed to stay there anymore, there's still a shift in the magic when she leaves the mistletoe circle. Without thinking it through in the slightest, Narcissa takes the smallest step back herself so that she's just outside the magic field. Then she steps back in, her hand reaching for the sleeve of Dorcas's robe so she can pull the other girl towards her. Elahe will be a few minutes at the very least. Just like that, they're trapped all over again, and Dorcas looks about to tell her how furious she is when Narcissa wraps her arm around Dorcas's neck and pulls her closer.
"Save it," Narcissa whispers,
feeling a rush of magic wash over them when they lean in at once and her lips are back on Dorcas's. She kisses Dorcas with a hunger she didn't previously know she could experience. Their bodies are pressed closely into each other, and the beads on Dorcas's braids clink together with every move they make. Dorcas's robes are balled up in Narcissa's fist as she opens her mouth to welcome Dorcas's tongue with an excited hum. Her breath is warm on Narcissa's face, a comfort she seeks out eagerly in the cold Slytherin quarters. Narcissa can't believe she's never done this before, that she's never thought of this before, even when Dorcas was always looking at her like she wanted to. Dorcas is arrogant, frustrating, and so needlessly full of herself. A hypocrite, if Narcissa ever saw one. But she's a good kisser. She's talented, has a fascinating perspective on dark magic and its utilities, and as much as Narcissa notices Dorcas looking at her, she never minds it. She appreciates it. Narcissa wants nothing quite as badly as she wants to keep kissing Dorcas Meadows to her heart's content. But there's a knock from inside their dormitory that makes them look up. They pull away just enough so they can turn their heads toward the door. Dorcas bursts out laughing, beautifully and uncharacteristically so. Narcissa is too distracted by her to laugh with her.
"Come out,"
Narcissa calls to Elahe, who's no doubt waiting eagerly behind the door, and steps back out into the passage in a beautiful woolen set of robes.
"You didn't need to knock,"
she tells her friend, who shakes her head wildly.
"I think I did," Elahe says. "That flush on your cheeks is quite telling."
Narcissa doesn't say anything, but Dorcas is still laughing.
"I'll be heading back to the pitch,"
Elahe tells them both, doing the same careful shuffle past the mistletoe.
"Will I see you there?"
She asks it without a shred of judgment in her voice, which would have unnerved Narcissa's innate paranoia if this wasn't Elahe. Elahe has her judgmental, sneaky, and suspicious side. They wouldn't have made such good friends if she hadn't. But towards her friends, she's level-headed and loyal to the bone. If she shows she's happy for them, she is, and there's no reason to question it.
"Yes,"
Dorcas says immediately, looking shaky, but flashing a teasing grin Elahe's way.
"We would have been there already if it weren't for your holiday joy."
"You're welcome,"
Elahe chuckles. She starts walking back to the main room.
"It was about time, you know. We've been pulling our hair out watching the two of you circle around each other."
Narcissa doesn't think that's true in the slightest, and Dorcas looks equally perplexed at the statement. Elahe turns back to them just before she heads into the common room.
"Happy Christmas," she tells them, even though she's never celebrated Christmas outside of Hogwarts and only likes the holiday for the mistletoe she can put up.
Her brown eyes are sparkling with excitement.
"Happy Christmas,"
Narcissa answers automatically, though the smile on her face is wider than she'd anticipated. Dorcas stays silent. When Elahe has left, and the two of them are alone in the small passage again, far enough from the mistletoe that they won't get caught again, the silence feels uncomfortable in the air. Narcissa feels a little lightheaded, out of breath at the thought of kissing Dorcas a third time, as she so desperately wants to do right now. Dorcas's eyes are darker than usual. Her breathing is faster, and the purple shade of her lipstick is smudged across her and Narcissa's mouths in equal amounts. She looks like a mess, in a way, and Narcissa thinks she likes it like that.
"She doesn't know what she's talking about,"
Narcissa begins, feeling relieved and rejected at the same time when Dorcas nods her agreement. Dorcas leans back against the wall, fixing her lipstick with a charm that looks much easier than it is when she casts it.
"She's a hopeless romantic," she says, looking back at Narcissa with a small smile. "How do I look?"
"Pretty enough to kiss," Narcissa wants to blurt out, but that simply wouldn't do. It's still true. Dorcas looks beautiful in the dim light in the dungeons, and Narcissa would, very much, kiss her again if prompted.
"Good,"
she says, after a silence that lasted too long.
You always look good,"
Narcissa adds awkwardly, feeling her blush return to her cheeks in full force when Dorcas smiles in surprise at that statement. Dorcas takes a moment, swallowing visibly as her hand frets with the trim of her silver jumper, with a nervousness Narcissa hasn't seen in her before. It's touching just as much as it's thrilling.
"So do you,"
she starts, looking directly into Narcissa's eyes.
"Perhaps we should meet under the mistletoe again? If only once?"
She wants it more than once, but Narcissa doesn't say that. "They can figure it out later." She nods, conjuring a mirror to fix her own lipstick with that same complicated charm. The smile on her face feels embarrassingly genuine and eager, but she can't find it in herself to tone it down.
"I'd like that very much,"
she tells Dorcas, whose relief is so blatant that it warms Narcissa's heart.
"Happy Christmas, indeed!"